Thanks so much for joining us for another edition of our open mic program. We do have Congressman Rick Crawford with us right now. And Congressman, thanks so much for taking time and talking with us.
Absolutely. Glad to do it.
Well, one thing we got to talk about is a debt ceiling. That's all we're hearing about. Tell us your perspective and what's going to happen.
You're seeing in the national news sort of a drama play out that, you know, maybe a little bit misleading to the American public. But the truth of the matter is we have a spending problem in Washington. And, you know, I don't really think that increasing the debt limit helps our spending problem. And, in fact, I think it probably enables it. But there's a couple of schools of thought on that. But as for me, I've already voted against a clean raise of the debt ceiling. And I don't see anything that would compel me to vote for an increase in the debt limit unless, of course, it were three fundamental changes, and those three changes being, one being a balanced budget amendment, and the other being a significant spending cuts and significant caps on future spending. What we're running into here is we need structural changes, permanent, so that we can bind future Congresses. We can only control the 112th Congress today. We can't control the 113th or the 120th, and we have no more control over them than we would have over, you know, Parliament in South Africa or something. I mean, we have to put some permanent structural changes so that future Congresses can't put us back in this situation again. And the only way I see us being able to do that is by implementing a balanced budget amendment. And the one that I'm an original co-sponsor on is probably one of the better ones that has ever been circulated up here in recent history, and it's actually the author of this bill is Bob Goodlatte from Virginia, and it basically is spending is tied to a percentage of GDP, and that percentage prescribed in this particular amendment is 18%. Historically, that's been kind of the level at which the government functions, but of course, we're off the charts now with our debt deficit, so we need to reel that in and get back to a more manageable figure, that being about 18% of GDP. So a balanced budget amendment would be the key before I would even consider a vote to raise the debt limit.
One thing we have also looked at is the budget. A lot of folks feel like the national budget is way out of control, and it just seems like we have these 3% raises on the budget without any recourse. Tell us what you think about that.
Well, you know, again, I think people make the argument that everything being indexed for inflation, you always have to have these increases. Well, you know, the things that you have to understand in Washington, they don't like to make budget cuts. But a cut in Washington is basically a non-increase in baseline funding. And so when you talk about, when government agencies talk about we got our budget cut, what they're really saying is we didn't get our budget increased. And so what we need to do is just as a matter of course say, listen, we don't have to have automatic increases to budgets, whatever the agency is. I think there certainly needs to be due diligence and review those budgets, and where it's warranted, if there's an increase warranted, I understand that. But the truth of the matter is there are so many federal programs that could not only sustain cuts, but some that just flat out need to be zeroed out. You know, so that's the deal with budget, is that we just have to really review every nook and cranny and find out where we can make appropriate cuts, because we don't have the money not only to sustain current spending levels, but to be entertaining the notion of increasing funding is ridiculous when we're talking about $1.5 trillion in annual deficit year after year.
So what is the plan? What do you think can get rid of some of these programs that are non-essential?
Well, and that's the key right there, is identifying those that are non-essential, identifying those that are duplicative. I believe there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 16 different agencies that have authority on food safety. And I'm thinking, you know, isn't that what the Food and Drug Administration is supposed to do? Why do we have so many different sub-agencies with authority over a single issue? And I understand that's important. Food safety is important. But all these separate and autonomous agencies that are essentially, you know, doing the same thing, we need to identify areas of duplicity and duplicative nature and find out which agency is best suited to address a particular issue or particular service, and go with that agency and let the other ones that fall by the wayside because they're not necessary. And so the thing about it is we just need to do a better job streamlining the government, operating a smaller government, is more efficient government, and it's easier to manage, and it costs the taxpayer less. And ultimately, that's going to improve our ability to create jobs. The whole mantra here ought to be job creation. Everything that we do here in Washington, you know, we need to ask ourselves, is this going to help create jobs in the private sector? Because private sector job growth is what's going to restore our economy. And if we continue to focus on growing government and the related governmental burden that goes along with that on small business, we are decreasing small businesses' ability to create jobs. And time after time, we've seen that, you know, when we're in an economic downturn, it's small business that rises to the challenge and brings us out of that economic downturn and starts to refuel the economy. So it's important to understand that small business accounts for about 75% of total job creation in the private sector. And we really need to empower businesses, large and small, to take what money they have available that's sitting on the sidelines waiting for some hope or hint of certainty, and give them the certainty they need so that they can plan for the future, expand their business, and create jobs.
All right, we've been talking with Congressman Rick Crawford. He's representing the Congressional District 1 here in Arkansas. And Congressman, thanks so much for taking time and talking with us. Tomorrow, we're talking about the Safe Roads Act that you introduced to Congress.